News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton at FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07. Text line alive and well this morning, 251-343-0106. All the headlines, all the stories we've got this morning, the situation in Pritchard. You've got the roofing company doing a lot of people a lot of wrong, it would appear. Incredible. You've got what the DA announced yesterday.
Which I like that idea.
Initiative, yeah.
I really like that idea. I forget, you know, they call that the Pareto Principle. And I'm going to completely probably butcher this for any of you sociologists or whatever that falls under, whatever science that falls under, but that, you know, 20% of something produces 80% of results, mm-hmm. or vice versa, 80% of people or something produce only 20% of results. That's basically the Pareto Principle, and it works surprisingly well across the board, including
criminals.
Criminals, yeah. Where like 20% of criminals, and it's an estimate, right? It's just a principle, so who knows what the actual number is. But facts are, if you took a certain amount of repeat offenders completely out of society altogether, then the total amount of crime would drop precipitously.
You take a big bite out of crime.
Big bite out of crime. And part of what we've seen so much over the years are people who have already been arrested but are waiting for their day in court continuing to go out and commit crimes. And so with this docket, if they're able to get those repeat violent offenders for specific offenses back in line and back in jail early, then you could cut down on a lot of problems. I like this idea. I'm surprised that Mobile is the first county in Alabama to attempt this, and I'd be interested to know. I guess it would just take a quick little Google search how many other municipalities around the country are already doing the same thing.
Well, you have to consider the fact that some of those municipalities with larger population centers are Democrat-run.
That's a good point.
Also, the one of the most startling examples of this was in New York City a few years ago. I don't have the facts in front of me. They took a number of people off the street in New York City.
You're talking about the Giuliani years, huh?
No, not then.
Okay.
It was post-COVID, but they got some people off the street to forget exactly what it was. And that handful to 20 people, I don't have all the facts. Crime went down.
Mm-hmm.
It affected the crime numbers because, as you were saying, this percentage were doing so much of the criminal activity. It's amazing.
It is, yeah. And, you know, even after COVID was even worse because not only were people who were out of jail but had been convicted previously waiting for trials and committing more crimes, but we were letting people out of jail that should have still been in jail.
Yeah.
Not that that ever ended, but after COVID, it was way, way worse. So I love this idea from Blackwood, and then putting basically a Circuit Court Judge Vicki Davis, who we talked to prior to her election a few years back, she will handle those cases from beginning to end. I guess similar to how Judge Naaman is in charge of what the juvenile court docket. And then he's also, Blackwood, the district attorney, also assigning two prosecutors exclusively to that docket so that they'll be able to move things along quickly.
Now, I wonder, so they're assigning Davis to that. Are they expecting Davis to act in a certain way?
Like judiciously, yeah.
I didn't say that. I said, you know, if you appoint a judge, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Because you have expectations that this judge is going to lock it down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know.
And do what we hope that she will do.
That's a good question. And definitely.
And I'm not throwing a flag on the play. I'm just saying.
You're wondering.
Yeah, I'm wondering. And if you have a judge that you appoint to these cases that is a lenient judge, you're not doing the whole operation any good, right?
Mm-hmm, right, yeah. That's a good question, especially for those of our listeners who are more ingrained in that part of Mobile society, mm-hmm. you know, that are in Government Plaza day in and day out.
Court systems.
Know the ways of the judges.
Yeah.
So I think that's big news. Now, they're not. If there's someone out now who's a repeat violent offender who's waiting on trial, That won't be included in this docket. Mm-hmm. They're going to wait until August 1st. Qualified cases filed beginning August 1st, so half a month away, will enter that program. But let's say that we did have this program, this repeat violent offender docket running the last few years. District Attorney Blackwood said that between 150 and 200 defendants might have qualified. And those repeat violent offenses, by the way, they're the big ones. Murder, manslaughter, rape, robbery, kidnapping, felony assault, domestic violence, arson. And then the one that I think will scoop up more criminals than any of those charges, shooting into an occupied building or vehicle.
We get it all the time,
right? We hear those stories.
All the time. Indiscriminately shooting into a building or a drive-by.
Vehicle, yeah.
You know? It's just senseless criminal activity that takes no skill.
Of course. But, you know, also a lot of discussion this morning on the House, the U.S. House, finally getting off their butts, and they were able to move the Save America Act finally. And it's interesting, too, because now it's the Senate who can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, get the NDAA bill, which there's a lot of crap in that, just like there always
is. Sure, sure.
But it's crucial, obviously, to our defense and providing money for all of those services.
You mean Ukraine's defense?
Ukraine's defense, yeah, Israel's defense,
yeah.
But yes, our defense. And the Democrats have the numbers because of how things are looking in the Senate as we speak to hamstring that entire effort. And it ended up being a 50-46 vote, but that's only because the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, he switched his vote so that he would be able to bring that back to the floor.
Right.
So technically it would have been 49-47. I was thinking about our conversation with Quinn Hillier yesterday when he was upset about the appointment of Lindsey Graham's sister, Darlene Graham Nordone. Is that her last name? She was sworn in yesterday. But Quinn and many people out there are upset because they don't feel she has the qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't work to earn that position. She was just appointed.
It's almost a ceremonial thing, but as it turns out,
she was a vote to pass the NDAA.
Yeah.
I wonder how so many of these conservatives who were poo-pooing that vote just a few days ago, how they feel about it now. I brought up that, and I didn't mean any personal ill will towards Senator Mitch McConnell.
Or toward Quinn.
Toward Quinn. He was very upset about this. But I mentioned, okay, well, is that better or worse, having someone who you feel is unqualified to be a senator, is that better or worse than someone, and I think what he said was, she'll just follow along with Trump. She'll just follow whatever he says and what the party lackeys say to do. Is that better or worse than having a sitting senator who is completely unable to vote, and better yet, because he's had so many health situations live on TV that there are serious conspiracy theories that he wasn't going to make it out of this last brush with death in the hospital. Mitch McConnell did not vote yesterday to advance the NDAA, and he wasn't the only one, but that was my point.
Yeah.
Was at least Lindsey Graham's sister is able to get in and continue
and
with the business of government.
Right.
She was sworn in and went and voted to extend the NDAA. Now, John Fetterman also didn't vote. I think the Democrat Padilla out of California didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
The former governor of West Virginia, who's now a senator of West Virginia, the guy with the bulldog, and I was just texting someone about him yesterday, I think it's Jordan or something like that. He didn't vote. You know, the coal magnate out of West Virginia. And then Mitch McConnell. So if you had those two Republicans and Mitch McConnell and Fetterman, who I believe probably would have been a yes vote on the NDAA, I don't know why those other three didn't vote. I know why Mitch McConnell
didn't. Did Fetterman say why he didn't vote?
No, I didn't see that. I was looking. I was trying to find if their offices explained exactly why they were unable to vote yesterday. But that was my entire point, is while we're complaining about, you know, who has the the credentials to be in the U.S. Senate. What good is a credential when you're unable to fulfill your role as senator, regardless of whether you have the long and storied career that Mitch McConnell does or not? You're useless if you can't get in there and vote. So,
well, and voting alone, the voting, like Quinn was talking about all the other things that senators need to be proficient at, or some are.
Like raising money.
Well, like being able to do what Katie Britt did. He was applauding her and her skills on being able to make this thing happen with the Bayway. bridge, I should say, not the Bayway yet, or it's going to be in phases. But he was talking about that as opposed to, say, Herschel Walker won in Georgia. Was it Ossoff beat him or somebody beat him, Democrat won.
Which that might be a discussion when Trump takes to the TV tomorrow night. There's a lot of talk that he's going to bring back Georgia election interference to the main stage tomorrow night, specifically regarding that race. But yeah, continue with...
If he had won and you're conservative or Republican, you know you don't have you have a celebrity. That might get you some points up there, right? The way he could persuade some people simply by being Herschel Walker. But otherwise, he probably doesn't have, he can't manage things like a Katie Britt, who's a pretty skilled politician. But the vote means something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you decide to put him up there because you think he's going to be elected, which I guess is pretty close. And then you know that vote is guaranteed. And you think, well, that's just kind of like a sense. Well, when it comes down to policy or passing a law, that's not a small thing. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have enough votes to get it passed.
Yeah, especially when your party is temporarily, in my opinion, running the show.
Right.
And what do we have to show for the Republican Party running the show? Not much. And
in the state of Alabama as well.
And I say not much. They have been able to get quite a bit done since Trump took office for his second term. But I don't think nearly enough has been accomplished to this point with Republicans holding the Congress, holding the House, the Senate, and the White House. But so the House has been the kind of one hamstringing us recently.
Yep.
Now it seems like the shoe is on the opposite foot, because the House yesterday were finally able to get the Save America Act at least to the next stage. They attached that to the State Department funding bill, and they also passed legislation that people that listen to FM Talk 106.5 have been calling for ages, and that's year-round daylight saving time. Now, back in 2022, we were talking about this earlier, I couldn't remember the year, that's when the Senate unanimously passed the Sunshine Protection Act. But the House that year chose to not take up the proposal. So it stalled and expired at the end of the 2022 session. Now it's back, but it's the House that was able to pass it yesterday, and we're waiting on the Senate.
I don't exactly know what's different between that time, and is it the language in the bill, or is it just I mean, they overwhelmingly passed it through the House after rejecting it in 2022, 308-117. And also on the text line, thank you very much. That's why we love the text line, 251-343-0106. We learned that, and we'll get into this after this break here. So you're talking about daylight savings time or saving time and time zones as well. The subject of time zones came up on the text line. I didn't realize this. It was train transportation that kind of modified or streamlined the time zones that we now have in the United States.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Yeah, EPG said what we really need is a return to many more time zones as we had before railroads. Compare the Foley sunrise time to Dallas as far as central time.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
yeah.
But year-round daylight saving time is worse. Yeah, we'll get into that and all of your texts. A lot of them on the daylight saving time coming up next.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Yes, World Cup today with Dan and Dalton. Last night, Spain shut out
France
2-0. And today it's England against Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
But to see who gets to play Spain. Spain's on a run, right? They've won a bunch in a row.
Yeah, they were the favorite coming in,
mm-hmm.
Them and France. And so yesterday... That might have been the real World Cup final.
Yeah, could have been.
But we will see. As far as daylight saving time, and we've had text all morning on this, you know, the main argument against going to daylight saving time year-round has been, and was the reason they overturned it back in the 70s, is because during the winter, you know, you do get that hour extra sunlight in the evening, which is what really bums me out. Once we fall back, is seeing the nightfall at 5 p.m. So there would be no more of that. But what it means is you get darker mornings during that stretch. And so that's always the main argument against it. The kids at the bus stops, yep. They're in a lot more danger. And
colder, you know, the sun's not out, so they're a little chillier.
Yeah, and obviously it'd be way more brutal in other parts of the country,
yes,
too.
Yeah.
But Todd said, then change the time schools take, change the time schools take into an hour later. Problem solved. Also helps with school traffic for the working people. Yes, Todd, but a lot of those working people are the ones that need to drop their kids off at school.
Also, you've got the teachers union. And
oh, boy.
You're talking about it. You're telling, you're going to try and tell that entire organization they've got to change their hours.
Or change anything. Like how they tie their shoes, they're going to put up a fight.
So you got that.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. You just don't get that swung through there with nobody raising an eyebrow or a hand and objecting.
And Pat, with kind of the opposite story of the darkness being a danger, he said, we had a girl who died in high school who was hit by a car while waiting on the bus, but the guy said the sun had blinded him,
yep.
And he couldn't see her at all. He said, I feel like it could have been avoided if the sun wasn't out yet. So
there are times,
and
that sun is blinding, and you know you got people on bicycles and everything, and you just don't see them. It's really rough
when it's in your right in front of you,
yeah.
As you're driving,
yeah.
Home in the evening. Texter says daylight saving time gives farmers an advantage over other countries. The sun shines an extra hour on U.S. agriculture. Now, what you were referencing earlier, EPG's text.
I love this. What you found out about this.
What we really need is a return to many more time zones as we had before railroads. Compare Foley sunrise time to Dallas. Crazy. But year-round, daylight saving time is worse. So, yeah, I guess before the railroads went in, most towns, it says here, I Googled it, set their clocks according to local solar noon. So when the sun would get as high as it can in the sky, depending on where you are, that was noon for you, which meant that Mobile could have a different time than Montgomery. Montgomery could have a different time than Birmingham.
Yeah.
But then the railroads came in and the scheduling became a disaster.
A nightmare.
So that's when the four principal time zones were introduced: Eastern, Central, Mountain, and Pacific.
Phoenix City and that area near Columbus, Georgia, just the way, in Central Time Zone, they go by Eastern Time because Columbus being the bigger city, Phoenix City, they need to be at work on time in the Eastern Time Zone.
Nah.
And so they actually just go by the Eastern time zone.
I thought in Phoenix City they just went into work whenever they wanted to.
Well,
that was kind of their thing.
There was a time when there were some pretty bad elements in Phoenix City. I think it's been cleaned up pretty well.
Fire Dog says, using the Pareto principle, so what you're saying is that Dan and Dalton are 80% of the workforce at 106.5 and only produce 20% of the content. I'm confused. Yeah, that's exactly what I was saying, Fire Dog. Or maybe the opposite.
By the way, did I ever show you that I had... years ago, the mayor of Phoenix City, a picture of me and the mayor.
No.
And Dan Brennan Day in Phoenix City.
No
Alabama.
Way.
I can't believe I didn't show you that. I don't know. It's one of those things that I'll come across every now and then. And it's just, it's like a...
memento.
Yeah, like something you put up on the wall.
Yeah.
And there it was. For what it's worth, Dan Brennan Day in Phoenix City.
Did they give you a key to the city or just the picture?
They gave me the plaque.
Okay.
You know, that I could read out loud to anybody that came to my house.
But they were scared to give you a key to the city. They were like, he's just going to be opening all the doors.
Phoenix City had been through so much, they weren't scared of anything anymore. They'd already experienced every bad element that society could offer.
And Squirrel Vereen with that criminal docket we've been talking about, he said Mobile has so many repeat offenders that this would just about have to cover all of the crooks.
Huh? There you go. 8:30, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And more on the text line and your calls on the way.
A traffic tip or your own take on the news, text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
There we go. 8:35. We're moving mics in here because we're going to have a guest join us here in just a minute to talk about the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. But before we get to that, we're going to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with our good friend, Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
That's right. It's the rodeo. Good morning, guys.
Morning, man. And, yeah, it's a busy week down here on the Gulf Coast. So much going on this weekend, but so many people fired up for the rodeo. And at McConnell, we're fired up because your inventory looks great right now.
That's right, it does. It looks as good as the weather's going to be this weekend, hopefully. But we got some great deals on half-ton trucks, 0%. I don't want to keep harping on it, but we got 0%. Got a few Yukons here, Yukon XLs on the new car side. Got plenty, I mean, plenty of used cars in stock. You can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. SUVs and pickups. Small SUVs, a lot of people like those, good gas mileage. Trying to buy a couple of Teslas at the auction, people are asking about them, so we'll try to get those and get those up on the website, and we'll be here all day and all weekend and try to sell a few cars.
Yeah, of course, and you talk about the new vehicles, but your pre-owned selection is great too, and you've got warranties also.
That's right. Any car that's on the lot that's less than 10 years old, less than 100,000 miles, will give you a manufactured 12-12 on the factory warranty. I mean, that's just, you know, you can't drive these cars without a warranty nowadays because there's so much stuff that electronic that goes with them. So, we got a great deal with Car Bravo. So, just come on by and see us.
All right. That's the plan. Hey, we appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
That's Louie Aratta. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Here comes 93rd Annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, beginning Friday, runs through Sunday in Dolphin Island, and we have one of those jovial JCs with us right now. Cody Ward is in studio. I guess he's kind of making the rounds on Sean's show now. Visiting us this morning, and you guys are pals, right?
Yeah, we've talked a lot this last week because the rodeo is here, and it's a busy time of year for you. I'm surprised, actually, you were able to make it in person. I figured you'd be down there moving things around.
Well, that's right. Well, I'm actually on the move today. We're heading up to the fairgrounds to start setting up for our QCS Marine Electronics Award ceremony. That'll be on Monday.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m. Y'all come out and see us after the tournament.
But, okay.
We're trying to get it all set up. We get a little jump on it. We'll be doing some live videos, a few things, give a little sneak peek a little later today on our Facebook page.
Hey, by the way, last week was for the kids. Roy Martin.
That's right. We had our 68th Roy Martin Young Angler Tournament. And that's presented by Piggly Wiggly, and it was a great tournament. We had a great turnout, lots of kids, lots of big smiles, and that's one of my favorite parts of the tournament, those big smiles.
Yeah, I know it is, man. You JCs, because you put all this work in, and then once you see those kiddos out there, and they're getting their fill of the ice cream and hot dogs and everything, but more importantly, coming back with some fish for you to weigh, that's got to be awesome.
That's right. It's worth every minute. It makes the other 365 days worth every minute of it.
And I was going to say, your Monday party at the grounds is a heck of a party, but you party all weekend, man. I mean, starting with the Liars contest, that's always such a great time tomorrow.
And then
you've got so many great acts all the way through the weekend after and while people are fishing.
That's right. So we kick it all off, as you said, tomorrow night, Captain T-Bone's Liars contest presented by Columbia PFG. Y'all have to come out and see us. Columbia's really decked us out this year. Nice outfits all weekend, but we're going to have a total outfit that night.
Nice.
Head to toe. I'm even wearing the shoes they gave us.
Yeah,
today.
It's like you're a member of the Ryder Cup.
That's right.
The whole team wears the same. That's awesome.
That's right.
Columbia, you can't beat that.
I know it's hard to believe. I'm going to say this, even though it's like, what is he saying? But somebody out there has never really experienced this before. There are maybe new to the area, or people have just, for whatever reason, have never experienced the tournament. What they get down on the island, what exactly are they going to see? How easy is it to get involved and register and all that?
Well, if you want to fish the tournament, of course, you just got to buy a ticket online at ADSFR.com or at any of our local vendors, Tackle This, Pronto Pond, Academy Sports and Outdoors. But if you just want to come out and be on site and hang out for the weekend, we've got plenty of stuff to do as well. It's free to get on site, BYOB. We got Bruce Smelly playing after the Liars contest on Thursday.
He is so good. That guy's so good.
That's right. We got Mustache the Band coming on Friday night That's a big one. Our president, his wife really wanted some 90s country this year, so he made it happen for her.
Great.
We got Ryan Balthrop on Saturday, and we got Cat Deal closing us out on Sunday.
Great acts.
That is awesome.
Great acts.
Talking with Cody Ward, Vice President of Publicity, Mobile JC. So you've been working this rodeo for a long time, man. And tell us about kind of that journey for you, but also, what does it take to manage this many anglers out there, so many divisions, which you seem to add to every year?
Like 33 ways to win, something like that?
33 categories.
33 categories. That is quite the undertaking, man.
That's right. That's right. So we got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's a big deal. I've been in since the 82nd. That was my first one. And my good friend Matt Glass had me come out and volunteer that day, and he said, "You're going to love it. Just come out and see it, and that's all it's going to take."
Yeah,
and he was right.
Yeah,
and I'd been a million times. I fished the tournament all the time when I was a kid. Never really won too many big prizes, but I was there and I loved it. So when he invited me, I jumped on the bus.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of those categories, do you have new categories this year? Or what are people excited about the most?
We do have a couple new categories this year. We have our live blackfish triple tail category this year. It's going to be sponsored by USA Marine Sciences. We also have our brand new Mediterranean Sandwich Company Swordfish Jackpot. That's a new one this year.
And you mentioned USA Marine Sciences. Sean Sullivan has Dr. Sean Powers in all the time.
That can get confusing sometimes right there.
Yeah, but how cool is that to have, you know, and what Dr. Powers has been able to kind of build up over there at South, but they're on site, man, and they're doing the science thing while everyone else is having fun.
That's right. They're there every day. They're collecting samples. They're getting information, just collecting all kinds of data. Dr. Sean has told us before that they collect about what it would take them about 10 to 15 years to collect. They collect in one tournament for us.
Wow. Yes. That's pretty valuable for them.
That's right.
The weigh-in station, I don't want to say it can get hectic, but you got to kind of know your way around. Like, what advice would you have for the anglers bringing their fish back in?
It's always busy. You know, we keep the weigh station. We try to keep it moving as fast as we can and keep them flowing. But just make sure that if you're coming by boat or by land, you just make sure you get there early. Be ready for some lines. It sucks, but it's worth every minute of it.
Mm-hmm. So, again, to get the party started, as always, annually, the Liars Contest tomorrow night. What can people expect? You know, even if they can't make it for one reason or another, Friday through the end of the tourney on Sunday, it's worth it to come out for that alone.
That's right. It's a good event. I mean, it's fun hearing everybody get up there and tell their fish stories. You know, that starts at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. Come out early. If you have an open ticket, come see me around 5. I'll start taking contestants if you're interested in being a contestant. We got a lot of options there. And then, of course, like I said, Bruce Smellie playing afterwards. That's always a big night.
So Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Maybe the answer to this question kind of depends on the weather. Maybe. I don't know. Is there one time during the weekend where the crowds are the biggest, where people just turned out, nearly tipping the island over?
Well, everybody loves that Sunday shift when all the big boats come in. They've been out all weekend, and we have a bay full of boats waiting to weigh in out there.
Interesting.
And probably a lot of those same kids that were fishing the Roy Martin last weekend, they come in to see those big boats come in with the big fish.
So they do, and a lot of them will come in and fish the tournament again. You know, we don't hold them back. They're more than welcome to buy a ticket and get entered in as well.
That's awesome. So, once again, for those that want to fish the tournament, what do they need to do before?
Go on and buy your tickets at adsfr.com and make sure everything's registered and ready to go before the tournament starts.
And for the entertainment, if people are just coming down to the island to have a good time.
I'll tell you what, that is enough to bring you down to the island. That entertainment lineup is fantastic.
Right. It's a big one. We also have a bunch of sponsors. We're going to have a lot of activities and a lot of activations out this year.
Yeah.
We got Buffalo Rock Pepsi going to be handing out stuff. We got Mossy Oak. They're doing some free drawings and giveaways. They're actually doing one on the back of our tickets. We also got
Mossy Oak's been a partner for a while, right?
They've been on and off a couple of years, but they've been a big interest this year. They're the ones who actually made this shirt I'm wearing here.
Nice. That's a sick one.
That's one of our new limited edition shirts.
Nice.
They're selling out fast. It's the Mossy Oak Green Leaf, if anybody can't see it, of course. We also have Capital Tractor. I think y'all have had them in there before.
Yep.
I mean, we love having them down. And then Xfinity is going to be down there as well, and they're going to have a big activation team. Lots of stuff for all the non-anglers to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And our own Sean Sullivan Our station will be down there. Midday Mobile live on Friday from noon to 2 from the island. And then again on Saturday, the FM Talk 106.5 Outdoor Show with Sean. And I don't know if Mike will be fishing or if he'll be on the radio with him. But they'll be live Saturday from the island as y'all are in day 2 of the tournament.
That's right. I'll be right there with him. And we're ready to go live with him.
Man, that's awesome. Well, we're super excited like we are every year for this, Cody. And you guys, the JCs, worked so hard for this. And Dolphin Island putting on such a show.
Yeah, you think about the commitment for the JCs as a whole force, but individually, these are people who they've got families, they
things
have jobs,
going on,
they got
yeah.
things, and they commit to this thing. And without the JC commitment, this doesn't happen.
That's right. It's a big commitment, but it's something we all take on and we all take true to heart, and it's very important to our community and everybody.
Yeah, I've seen it every year, the volunteers. But I say, the jovial JCs.
The jovial. Well, Cody, thanks, man, for coming in. I'm sure you got a lot to do, so we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the 93rd running of it. Starts with the Captain T-Bone's Liar Contest tomorrow night, and then the Cannon Blasts Friday morning. They'll be off and running.
8:46, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. Jeff Porcho show follows ours at a little after 9 o'clock. We'll preview that with Jeff on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:51. It's always interesting what gets the text line going. Often, it's, I don't say throwaway stories, but things that we didn't know were going to ignite them like that. Often, they're local stories, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. We love talking local here, but I knew that with the new coverage.
Quinn hanging up on you yesterday was.
I need to make that happen more often.
He hung up on both of us. I guess I have the right to be offended as well.
I wasn't offended. What I'm saying is I need that to happen more often.
Mm-hmm.
I need to.
You're hitting home.
Push it a little more, yeah, with the Mitch McConnell thing. Cheap shot. Jason says the new process, the district attorney criminal docket thing we've been talking about
yes,
this morning
yes, for yes.
repeat violent offenders, said the new process kind of sounds like what Trump talks about called quick trial. Also, I wonder if those disagreeing about the time change and using bus kids as the argument are serious and proactive enough to actually be responsible and take their kids to school themselves, as they should. I think we know. Well, and I'll say it again. What works for one person doesn't necessarily always work for others. There are families that need their kids to ride the bus, either going to work or unable to drive them for one reason or another. But yeah, I understand what you're saying, Jason. Let's see, EPG. Let me see. Actually, I skipped a few here. I wanted to get to Patrick. He said, love listening to your show. I'm heading to a job in Pensacola with my bosses and coworker, Taylor. Taylor is a real loser. Talking about hunting alligators, please, that boy couldn't even shoot a super soaker. Sounds like a little personal beef spilling over on
yeah,
our text line.
I was going to say, hold up and don't read that part about Taylor, but it was too late.
Sorry, Taylor.
I mean, Taylor's sitting in the car right now like, what the blank did I do?
Let's see. Gardner says, I believe the House has passed the SAVE Act several times. Well, the Democrats over this last month have really... we talk about blockades and the Iranian blockade. They have blockaded the House from tacking that Save America Act onto that bill.
I can't keep up with all the blockades out there.
Killer Bees says, daylight saving time or standard time, who cares? Stop the freaking war. Americans are suffering. Bobby, just like somebody else, Tony texted earlier, he says, split the time, make it 30 minutes off year-round.
King Herod.
Jim says, daylight savings does not give farmers an extra hour of sunlight. The length of daylight isn't dependent on our, quote-unquote, time. The season of the year dictates the amount of daylight per 24-hour period. Yes, thank you, Jim. The sun is the sun, and farmers are going to get up and work when they can get up and work. But, the hours, that's the main thing for people that work depending on what hour it is. I hate the sun going down at 4:30 in the afternoon. I think it gives me the winter blues more than if we had a little bit more sunlight. So I'm perfectly happy with this one here, with keeping it daylight saving year round.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus, Georgia was like Iceland or Norway or somewhere. The sun's out all the time because it was just so, you're right at the line, the most western edge of the eastern time zone. And I think it was like till 9 o'clock it would be in the summer, you would be sunny.
Yeah, what is it, Alaska that has nearly full days of sun? sundown and sun up.
Yeah, yeah. There's and certain places in the Nordic part of Europe.
Well, let's talk to a man who, regardless of what time it is, he's probably awake.
He's
and
ready.
He's probably working. And that's Jeff Poor, whose show joins or comes on after ours. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and you know, it's not the the biggest political story going right now, but where do you stand on the whole time change thing?
I it's got to happen. I just it's an antiquated, you know, use of government policy, and I you know, no one's like really pro. You don't hear many people who are like for the status quo, do you?
No, but the you do have people, or who was it that spoke out for using the standard time, not using the daylight savings time, mm-hmm. All but like the one time.
Keeping it that year round at standard time.
The yeah. standard time. So we're abandoning standard time for the daylight saving time.
I think those were the sleep researchers we were talking about.
Oh,
who
yeah.
were pushing
yeah.
for that.
Yeah. And
the cushiest, you know, job in the world.
Nobody works harder than a sleep researcher. So what they say stands in my book.
But, well, they say like mental health and suicides, and I don't, you know, there's all this data compiled. I know at my house, my life isn't really dictated by a clock except a deadline, but in the show, but it's just whenever the kids get up and go to bed.
Well, mm-hmm. you are speaking Dalton's language right now, because he's had a summer of child turmoil.
Yeah, well, I can't get over the sleep researching thing. Like, you think families have split up because a man was putting too much work into his sleep research? He's like, he's just burning the midnight. All he does is work. What's he do? He researches sleep.
Yeah, well, but there might be something to it as far as, like Jeff was saying, with the body in line with the earth and all, and going to sleep.
Well, your body, your body adapts to a certain like routine every day,
mm-hmm.
and then you throw this wrench in it, and it knocks it out of kilter, and then I guess, you know, very marginally, but it's still statistically shown that people go through these bouts of like depression and yeah. mental illness because of it.
Yeah. Right. I get the winter blues. I can feel it. I'm like, ah, man, I can't wait for that sunlight to be back in that heat.
Yeah, but throwing a wrench into my day, it's called happy hour. Everything is fine. I'm fit as a fiddle. I've exercised. I've done this. I've done that. I've eaten right, and then next thing you know, I'm John Belushi.
But in winter, happy hour has to be at 2 p.m. You know, because of the
well,
but,
right.
Jeff, who do you have coming up on the show today?
We'll kick it off with Alan Mendenhall. He writes a column for us at 1819 News every week, but he's also a fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Just some of the social engineering within our state government. We're going to talk about that. There's still, believe it or not, DEI and a lot of appointments based on, you know, whatever identity politics. Joey Clark with News Talk 93.1 because it is Wednesday. And Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stouthagen will be with us to talk about closing primaries. I think Tabitha Eisner, who runs who's the vice chairwoman of the Alabama Democratic Party, telling members of the Democratic Party to vote in the Republican primary on August 11th is a gift to Republicans who want this.
And I think we just found a cushier job than the sleep researchers.
Yeah.
A fellow. Someone who's explain what a fellow does, Jeff, can you?
It's like these think tanks, they have professors, but they don't have students.
Uh-huh.
And they write policy papers. They write these white papers, and they you know, there's supposed to be stuff that lawmakers and other policymakers read to give them ideas about how to make government better. It's like what Washington, D.C. is built on.
Yeah, I mean, those people don't even need to talk about a occupation doesn't need a clock.
Hello.
No deadline. No.
Hello, fellows.
Hello, fellow.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, can't wait for your show. I've been telling everyone to listen to your show yesterday. I mean, you absolutely put it out there, this Ivy administration and the trouble they've caused for the next few government terms.
Yeah, it's not just some kind of silly little theoretical exercise. Yeah.
All right, we ran out of time. Thanks, Jeff.